Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast and radio show at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow. And sideshow.com. Let me see, you are, in fact, very wise people of the podcasting world, receiving this a day earlier than expected, because tomorrow, should you be listening to this in the future and you own a DeLorean, it would make it Thursday. Unless you're listening to this in 2018, in which case it might be a Friday, Wednesday, we've been here before. Let's skip on past that bit then. So you're getting it a day earlier because the sideshow's up for the Garden Media Guild Awards. And I don't want to really in any way kind of discuss that. So I'm just going to point at the man over there doing something random and then I'm going to run away. Or in audio land, let me put this to you in context. In no particular order. Arsenal Football Club, a pint of Guinness, some cake. Socks at Christmas time, somebody tickling themselves who I've at a bus stop, or whatever the case may be. And you listening to this, which is me babbling on, essentially. We'll get to the good horticulture bit in a minute. It's just around the corner. We'll get to that in a second. But how do you put something that you do not for money into words? Well, I tried to do that, and instead I'm going to give you this, and then we'll roll straight into the show, which is a stunner, by the way. So the pretext to this little bit of audio is that I was lying against a quite large hippopotamus. It was about 10 past 8 at night. There were stars on the ceiling and it was just as I was about to go and get a cup of coffee and I was asked would I stay a couple of minutes longer. Take a listen.
I love you more than 411 bananas inside toast with leaves on the outside.
I love you with ham and butter and books and rock solid paper and teddy blanket duvets bed.
There'll be nothing left on the planet if you keep on going. How long is this? I love you more than... Are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay. I love you more than the top part of a tiramisu, a Mississippi mud pie, a rocky road, a pavlova, and a Black Forest gatto all rammed into the one cake and put on a plate with one mint leaf sticking out the top and a little squirrel sitting there holding a flag saying, I love you.
Okay. I love you more and I think of like a banana sitting on a rock in a cup, pop in a cup, cup, in a wardrobe, in a carton, in a wardrobe, in a this, in a lamb, in a door, in a teddy.
Wow, that, well, I tell you something, man, nobody.
And the flag's up there.
Nobody has ever told me they love me like that before. But let me tell you how much I love you. I love you more than just inside the tiniest little pebble. If you took a chisel and you split it in two, a man would pop out with do you know what illum pipes are? They're like bagpipes. He'd pop out with a set of illum pipes and he'd play them away. Backwards. And when you wrote all the letters down, it would actually say, I love you. Then he jumps back in his rock and then he sticks his legs at the bottom and he runs away and he gets back in underneath the soil. That's how much I love you. How about that, Buster?
Now I must hear you. I love you to Santa Claus.
I love you.
Hello. I love you to the moon, to Santa Claus, to Nanny.
Well, okay. I don't think I can actually beat that one. Because, well, no, I can't actually beat that one. I think you actually love me the most. I think I've lost this game. But...
What are you going to say?
I was going to say, there in South Africa, there is a really, really, really tall giraffe. And his name is Mary. He is 5 million feet tall. His legs are taller than the tallest trees in South Africa. There's actually two. One tree is called Michael and the other is called James. They had a sister, but she ran away because she wasn't tall enough. And on the very top of that tree, there's a little parrot and he runs a sweet shop, especially for giraffes. I love you more than the tallest of all of them stacked on top of each other in South Africa, which is actually as high as the sun. But that's only during daytime. So your one is Santi, which is Nanny and the Moon and where else?
Santa.
Nanny and the Moon and Santa. Yeah, okay. So mine is like a daytime one, except it involves a giraffe and a parrot and two trees.
Mine is nighttime.
Yeah, that is just...
And daytime.
How is yours daytime?
Like Nanny.
I suppose.
And nighttime and daytime.
I never thought about it like that. Yeah. Whose go is it now?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, how about I love you?
I love you.
Okay, good night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Be tight. Okay. Okay. Bye.
I guess what I'm trying to say is there are things that are not always about the money, and sometimes they just come from the heart. And I like to think that the Sideshow is yours and mine, and we've built this city on rock and roll. That just popped into my head, but we did it, you know, us. It's that, you know. And if the shiny things come, then they come from the heart equally, and also, but we don't need them to increase turnover. That's a Donegan landscaping thing, and this is Sideshow. And yeah, a headline main sponsor would be good. But until that day arrives, then, you know, should it change anything? Probably not. And maybe a sponsor will demand that we win more shiny things for PR's sake. And then that will be good, because then we'll have them and it can become better. But for the minute, it's just me and you. And that's okay. I can live with that. Right, let's get out of Peter's head. Let's get on to today's guest. This is the wonderful, the very wonderful Annabelle Langrish. You're going to love this story, I promise you. I'll see you on the far side. Join.
I'm Annabelle, and our garden just developed over since we came, really, because we had 6 acres. It's what I call an artist's garden. It's just loads of colour, and I enjoy sharing it, so it's now on the garden trail. Oh, it's Heron Gallery. And we live above the gallery. We have another 2 galleries. One's in Skull and one is in Kinsale. But this is kind of the mother ship.
So when people come here, and they obviously do, because when I arrived here this afternoon, there were about 8 cars or so outside. And I came into my left and there was a coffee shop. And I came into my right and there was a little bit of the gallery.
Yeah.
And then I walked out the back and it was kind of like going out the back of the wardrobe into a little bit of Madeira, and the furniture was blue and the Rawthorn
table that we're sitting at the minute has a little bit of that blue and white kind of, it reminds me an element of Madeira, even though there's Fraxinus Excelsior right behind me, which is obviously ash, but we're also in West Cork, which is that microclimate again. What if I walk backwards? Do I walk into what is at the back of that wardrobe in my mind?
Well, if you get a little further into the wardrobe, you'll find all kinds of delights and creatures in the garden. There's sheep and there's hares, sculptures, and there's little fairy paths and things, not with fairies, but just adventure things for children. And there's a barefoot path in progress where you take off your shoes and walk on all different surfaces. It's kind of mindful walking. Yeah. You'll get a go at that in a minute. Oh, dragonflies and butterflies galore, and it's just become a kind of a magic place. We think it's magic, and other people think it's magic now. So,
but you're on the garden trail for logically good reasons. So, therefore, if we can, what are the gardens themselves? I guess
I think people they see it as my lifestyle in a way. You know, they're buying into my lifestyle. So they come to they see my art, they come to the cafe, and the food, even, it's got bits of the garden on the plate. What we try to grow as much as we can vegetable wise, and then we have all edible flowers and things to decorate the plates. So and then when they see the garden, and it's a bit different, it hasn't got anything very exotic in it. It's just a big mass of flowers. I grow everything from seed or cuttings. There's a lot of annuals in amongst perennials, and there's a wildflower section and raised beds, and it's just a bit different. It developed over time. I didn't design it in the way that you would design a garden. It happened just year after year. As I get a bit of money, I do put it back in and do a little project, you know.
I don't mean to categorize you, and this is to your credit and to your compliment, but you say your lifestyle, and I have this picture now forming in my head, correct me if I'm wrong, of a person who kind of does nothing intentionally. It appears to be seamless and effortless, but yet everything you go and do photosynthetically, but it works, and that kind of makes me kind of go, oh, you, geez, how does she get it right so all the time?
I think it's just I'm a doer, you know. I'm happy when I'm making something or creating something. So the garden is as much part of my art as anything else, really. You know, it doesn't matter if it's painting or weeding or sowing seeds. That's just me. So I work all the time. I mean, people say, do you ever sleep? And I don't a lot.
You know? Well, I'll put it to you in context. My grandmother grew a lemon tree from a pip. And I don't ever remember the lemon tree producing flowers, but I do remember it was the coldest courtyard that I've ever stood in. It could be 50 bazillion Celsius outside, and this lemon tree grew. Now, looking back with a horticultural education, if you had have said, could you grow a lemon tree there? The answer would logically be no.
Yeah.
But she kind of did. And that now makes me think of you, where you just kind of stick, inverted commas, as my grandmother would have said it. I just stuck something in the ground and I'm going, But you did, but everything you touch turns to gold. So that's kind of magical. And again, it goes back to, how does she do it? She has got she's got a secret plan in that room in there, and she just won't tell us what it is.
No, I don't. But I suppose, I was always kind of artistic, and I always wanted, I think, to go to art college. But when I was, 12 or something, I thought, and I'm fond of animals, so I thought I either want to marry a farmer or a vet. And it didn't happen. I married a gardener first time round. I didn't have a clue. You know, when I was brought up in Barbados, and we had a maid and a gardener, and I had no interest in cooking, gardening, nothing. Everything was done for us. You know, when I left home, and I'd never stuck a spade in the ground or anything. But then I married this gardener. So we had a small holding in Leitrim. And I wanted to grow herbs. And I just had the most amazing herb garden. It just happened. I got rocks out of the field, and I made little paths and everything, and all different shaped beds, you know, put my herbs in triangles and shapes in lines, you know, the seed. Everything germinated, and I had this most amazing herb garden, and I sell herbs. And I just found I can grow stuff, you know. Bought a few books, I suppose, and just did. So that it started when I was, 21. that I had this small holding. So I've been kind of gardening since then.
I can hear half of the population of the UK and Ireland saying she left Barbados. She ended up in West Cork.
Well, that's kind of why, because I was in Roscommon for years. I came to Ireland in 76. I was in Leitrim and then Roscommon, and I needed to be nearer the sea because I think that's the Barbados bit. Yeah. You know, I just wanted to be near the sea. So then we moved to Cork 11 years ago. That's kind of the blue, you know. My blue is kind of, it's in all the galleries, you know. It's that kind of sunny terrace feeling, you know, sunny, outside-y.
But you've got a garden that's 11 years old, and it's not the first time that I've come across this, where I've walked in and you try and, how do you say, it's like going through somebody's vinyl collection and you kind of go, right, they've got Kinks, okay, they've got the Stones, all right, fair enough, I'm warming to you, yeah, okay. They've got Creedence Clearwater Revival, right, he's in the club, let him in. No 11-year-old garden I know, bar a couple, look this mature yet extremely well maintained, yet they're of your personality, is the other way to put that. Yeah. But again, it's Leicester City winning the Premier League with no player that cost any greater than 1 or 2 million, when Arsenal couldn't do it with players that were 50 million, and you've created something that is utterly amazing.
Thank you. Well, I don't know what to say to that. Yeah, it is. It is what it is. And it's something, I mean, I have plans this year. I'm going to do a water feature. So that's going to be this year's spend. And somebody gave me a blue glass cone. I'm just thinking that because I like beach glass and just glass, you know, so it's given me the idea for a water feature. I'm going to use this. And I bought 50 alios to put around the edge of it. I have a little plan for that. Yeah.
I'm not going to even ask if that's going to work, because I know it is. I've no idea in my head how it's going to evolve, but I know it's going to work.
Yeah.
People come to West Cork. Some come as part of the West Cork Garden Trail. They arrive here for the very first time. You park on the far side of the road. You walk into what appears to be a bit of an inverted commas, in my mind's eye, a semi-farm cottage that has been maybe adapted. So I'm not far off the mark. Yeah. And the water is on the far side, so it's beautiful to even park in your car is beautiful. How's about that for you? But you come through the house and out the back and into the garden. How does the garden bit work? Does that work as a part of the business? Do you have to pay for entry into that? What do you do?
At the moment, it's contributions, and there's a box down there for contributions, and most people do put something in, but I might make it a fiver or something another year, because we do get, you know, some bits of damage, or you get just children picking things, or I don't know, it would just be helpful if sometimes, but most people are pretty respectful of what you're trying to do, you know. When you see, there's no indication when you see the front of the house, really, apart from it's a nice view from the car park. But, and we have that little strip across the road as well, so you can actually go up little steps there and see the sea, and there's a bench up there. So that's part of it as well. There's no indication that all this garden is behind it, really, because it's now actually 4 acres. We got rid of a bit that side.
Let's go all the way back, if I can, to Barbados. What was home like there?
Well, we were there because my father was took the job of being manager and brewmaster of the brewery there. So we had a brewery house, but there was a big field between the brewery and our house, which was full of lime trees. Had an avocado tree outside my window, dripping with avocados, and banana, row of banana trees, and a veg garden, and yeah. So it was, and it, you know, it's tropics. It's beautiful, and our lives was to do with the sea. And you know, we had a little sailboat and we were hanging out with all the surfers, and that was just my youth, really. But I couldn't actually wait to leave, you know, when you just want to be independent of you want to leave home and be independent. And so I couldn't wait to leave, and then I really missed it. But hey ho, there's nobody there anymore, family, you know, so I'd just be like any other tourist when I go there, which I'm going in January. Yeah, for 2 weeks. Yeah.
Will you go back to the homestead? Will you go back and see it?
It's gone. It doesn't exist. It's been razed to the ground. Yeah. And the brewery has been rebuilt nearer to the airport. So it was really sad, you know, went, drove up there, and it's just an empty lot. No garden, nothing. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really sad.
So from there to let's call it Ireland.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that the case of to get away?
It's a long story. I won't bore you with it. But my father fell for an Irish an Irish woman who lived in Mayo. I mean, he's died a long time ago, and so has she. But so we never knew anything about this, and neither did our mother, of course. But he used to come over and visit. And then one time we said, oh, can we come too, you know, and I thought it was beautiful. Anyway, he bought a cottage in Roscommon on side of Loch Key, hoping to retire there. But I think Mum must have had an inkling that this was going on, you know, and she didn't want to come at all. She didn't want to move to Ireland. So I came over to see the cottage, and I just thought it was magic. You know, you just woke up in the morning and you could just see the mist on the lake and all these little islands. And I just thought, oh, I want to be here. And I was at college in Wolverhampton at the time. Our college, and so I just transferred. I found out where the nearest college was, which was Sligo. I had an interview and I moved over. I moved into the dad's cottage. That's what brought me over.
But to Lockie's credit, and I've camped there, and I've been out by Trinity Island, and I've been out by Castle Island, and that in the morning. Yeah. When the mist is on the lake,
it's just magic, isn't it?
It's like something out of a movie. It's entirely that. But it's when you fall in love with something, a place, a scene, a not so much a scene, but a setting and a place on the worst weather possible. It has to be the yin. It has to be when it's raining and also when it's sunshine and in equal measures, if that makes sense. But Lockie is just one of them.
It is, exactly. It was beautiful. It was great. And then, of course, then I met my first husband and who the gardener. But we didn't. I didn't want to. I could have bought my father's house then, because he knew then he wasn't going to retire there. So, but I wanted to be independent of them again, you know. So we bought our own place in Leitrim, a little cottage. For 2,400 punts. it had no running water. It had electricity, and 12 kids had been brought up in that house. It was a three-room cottage, you know, but it had an acre, and it was in a valley. It was like a dream, another dream place, you know. It was just stunning. It was just beautiful, and that's where, you know. And then we had a kind of little self-sufficiency thing with goats and donkey. We used to cut all our own turf up in the mountain bog and go up with a team of donkeys and bring it down with the creels and everything. I mean, it makes me sound ancient, but it actually was like that in the 70s and the early 80s. You know, nobody really had money then, and there was loads of bachelor farmers then, you know, living around, and they were all fascinated by, you know, us growing. Like, they couldn't think what was the point in Brussels sprouts, you know, when you can have a cabbage, like, what's the point in a little cabbage, you know? And they used to watch us growing beans and things that they just would never, you know. They had cabbage spuds. That's about it, really. Kale, maybe, and carrots, you know, and that'd be it. So they were always come down at us, looking at what we were up to next, you know.
There are young people enjoying themselves in the background, and at that age, I would have been no different at all. Sometimes I'm no different at this age. To where you are now, did you walk in here and go, Eureka, this is the one. If I don't, it's that love poem again. It's if I don't have this. Did you have? Was it a feeling? And then I'll hand you a check for it.
Moving to Cork was the first sort of thing. We were doing the craft show in Cork for years, coming down from Roscommon, and we kind of liked Cork. And because I wanted to be nearer the sea, you know, we thought, okay, let's look. And then I met the owner of the house at one of the craft fairs, and she said, oh, we're selling our house, you know, but it's silly money, you wouldn't be interested, you know. I said, oh, just tell me about it. And now, so we came down to see it in January, which was freezing and grey and rainy and horrible. And I realised, you know, that it was like two houses. And I saw that we possibly could move upstairs, have a gallery or a shop downstairs. There was a double garage, so that's now the pottery and studio. There was an extra couple of acres on the side, which I reckoned we could sell and pay off some of the mortgage, you know. And I had it all planned, but I didn't have the money. And of course, our house wasn't even on the market. I tried to get a loan from the bank, and of course, an artist and a musician. Mm-mm. So anyway, they suggested I get a mortgage broker that gave me name of a mortgage broker who managed to get us a mortgage. I tried to get someone to come in with me, like my mother and my sister and friends, and you know, to buy the cottage side of it. But it all kind of fell through. So in the end, we did it with the mortgage and we sold the house. But I did something that everybody said, oh, don't do it, you're mad. And I borrowed, the owner said that I could have it. If I gave 10,000 deposit, non-refundable deposit, and then go away and try and sell my house, and if I hadn't sold it in a year, I'd lose my 10,000. So I borrowed the 10,000 and gave it to them, and they took it off the market. And I just got it just in time, sold the house. Yeah, so that, it was very risky, but I just knew it was going to work, you know, and I knew I'd be able to pay it. So it has worked out according to plan. It works, you know, because we actually have the cottage is a rental now, it's on Airbnb, and you know, we've developed the whole vegetable garden. There was no vegetable garden or anything, and we've got tunnels now, and then the cafe came 5 years ago, I suppose, just to encourage people to come up the hill to see the art, and that's worked. And the garden trail has really got a whole another load of people coming, and you get garden clubs, and you had a coach one time, you know, coming, and yeah, people really enjoy just being here, you know. They'll spend the day here just sitting up in the field or something. And we had offered these slow food picnics, and we didn't get much take up on it, you know. And then the other day somebody rang and said, can we order a picnic for tomorrow, 11 o'clock? And how much is it? And I couldn't even remember, you know, because we hadn't done them for ages and we were so busy. It was August. I said, whatever. And we did it anyway. We got it ready for 11 o'clock the next day. And, you know, she never came. I couldn't believe it. She never turned up. But so I think we won't do the picnics in August because it's just a bit mad. But people, you know, you can bring your own drink because we don't have a license, but you can bring your own. And it says that. I mean, now we have a few music events outside, preferably. You know, we got Hank Wendell coming the end of the month. They're really successful. You know, we've had a string quartet playing outside and everybody sitting on benches and stuff. So, yeah, a few events like that.
As by the way, just to the ambient sound, a wee note of it, children in gardens, I can't really complain about that one. It's something we're all trying to encourage, and then we come in and we kind of go, well, you should be seen, not heard. No, they are more than welcome. What can I say? And you heard the note said, people come and they tend to stay here literally all day. I can't disagree with that, and I won't disagree with that, and you should come here and literally while the time away, take my advice, you'll do easily 4-5 hours here. And what gardens can you say that about when it's just two of you sitting together, enjoying what's around you, having a fine cup of coffee, maybe a little bit of music in the background. And if you go a bit up the way, and there are young people here, they can do their thing and you can do yours. If people want to get in touch, you have the websites and all of that kind of stuff?
It's on the Garden Trail website, and it's on herongallery.ie or annabellelangrish.ie, both.
And if you're stuck for any of that, at Sodshow on Twitter, sodshow.com or facebook.com/thesodshow. And I'll put you directly in touch with Pasha on the details. In the meantime, thank you so much. That was a real treat.
Thanks. It was lovely to chat to you.
And that is it for this episode of The Sod Show. There is nothing really more to say except to thank you. Thank you. And thank you again. Thank you for absolutely everything. At Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow and sodshow.com. I'm going to play you out with the 1 minute teaser that had to be submitted to the Garden Media Guild Awards as part of this year's entry. We'll see you next week. Take care. Slán. Thank you again. Bye for now.
Good morning, everyone. It's Philip Johnson here, and I'm the designer of this beautiful poppy tribute to the respect and remembrance of the fallen soldiers. This is the Royal Hospital of Chelsea. We are surrounded by in excess of 325,000 handmade, crocheted poppies. We've had in excess of 50,000 volunteers. He said, last night I had this most beautiful dream. I was holding your hand, walking along the little creek, seeing these little water holes. It was the most beautiful dream. And I woke up and I'm here in the trenches, in the tunnel, and he never returned.
Philip Johnson, thank you so much. It's been a real privilege and a real pleasure.
It's an absolute honour to be here.
Thank you, man.
Pleasure.